Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
He is Joe Madden. He is on Twitter at Cubs Joe Mad with two D's. And I have to say, has pretty good tempo on that golf swing. Got to do some scouting, see it multiple times. But you look pretty comfortable out there yesterday.
Well, you know, as a kid, I used to play a little bit more often. Now it's very infrequent. But I didn't feel badly over it. But beyond that, I want to thank you guys for coming out yesterday. Really a great start to the whole event. I think we raised right around $300,000, believe it or not. That was kind of an outstanding. Jerry Lasky and the boys put on a great event, and all the attendees, a lot of fun. Everybody had a great time. And so Respect 90, we're very grateful and promise to dole out that money as quickly as we possibly can.
No, we're certainly happy to be a part of it, and glad that we could talk to you yesterday. And wanted to get to the bottom of the thaw, as for lack of a better term, with Alex Rodriguez. It doesn't sound like either one of you is ceding much ground as far as the actual facts of the case, so to speak. But it seems like was there an agreement to disagree? How did it go down?
Yeah, I mean, it's a nice conversation. We sat right here in my office and we talked about it back and forth. And you don't always have to agree, but at least if you talk about things, that's a great first step. And the biggest thing is that we respect and understand each other. I think too many times in conversations today, somebody's got to always win a conversation. I don't think that's correct. I made my points, he made his, and now I'm looking forward to getting to know him better and hope he's feeling the same way about me. But that's just how the world works. Sometimes we forget that it's okay to disagree. It's actually a good thing to disagree, and that's how you grow. So it was a great conversation. I'm looking forward to getting to know him more on a personal level.
The guy about whom the conversation started, Yu Darvish, threw a sim game today, it sounds like. A two-parter, Joe. I mean, I imagine, you know, you're going to find out what he feels like tomorrow as being the biggest part. But what did he look like to you, and what does one look for when watching a sim game? Is there something specific that you need to see given the guy that's out there, or does it change anything? You're just watching a dude pitch.
No, I mean, first of all, I thought he did really well. And what I was watching for is there any hesitation when he goes to throw the baseball? Does he, something in his facial expression that there's pain at the end of delivery? Is he cutting himself off? Is he cutting himself short? Meaning that you're restricted and I'm holding back because something bothers me as I release the baseball. You look for things like that. I didn't see any of that. I saw a real loose and free athlete. Great spin on his breaking stuff. The pop on his fastball was good. Through 50-plus pitches, which is a good indicator that gets him up to 70, 75 next time out. So all systems go. It looked good. You're right. You got to wait till tomorrow to see how he feels at that point. But I thought it looked really comfortable, actually. And I spoke with him briefly afterwards. And listen, this guy is like so wanting to get back out there. Good step. We'll reevaluate tomorrow and then try to make our next determination at that point.
I want to rewind the National Series a little bit because that really felt postseason-y. It was amped up. I mean, down to starting with the Anthony Rizzo 13-pitch walk and watching Hellickson kind of melt down out there. And your argument that you had, even though it seems like by explanation the rule was properly applied, I'm learning now, I'm becoming a connoisseur of the quixotic Joe Madden argument where even though the umpire might be in the right by the rule, you're going to argue that the rule is bad, as it appeared you did in that case. Is that what was going on?
Well, yes, but also, have you ever seen that call when a third baseman makes the throw to first base?
No.
Boom. And that'd be 10 him out to the shortstop making the throw, and all of a sudden the guy goes up the line, and you're going to say the runner's inside the line. But beyond that, the throw was uncatchable. The throw, it's almost like a quarterback throwing the ball to the sidelines. At least the NFL has realized that it's an uncatchable throw, and all of a sudden that you can't penalize the defense right there. So in a situation like that, the third baseman, it was a great third baseman, makes a bad play, and he gets rewarded, whereas we make a good play by executing the bunt properly, and we get penalized. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. The throw was offline. There's no way that guy was going to catch the ball. If the throw is inside the line where the runner actually interfered with the throw, I'll concede. But even more than that, the throw coming from the third baseman, that has to be considered also, because I don't understand how that plays either. Coming in hard, you're running very hard, you're throwing off balance, and you just throw it willy-nilly, and all of a sudden you're rewarded. So there's so many different layers to that. And yeah, I mean, even the spirit of the rule indicates you can't run inside the line, which is all absolute bunk anyway, because there's no other place to run. But it needs to be something needs to be done about that rule. But when it's an uncatchable pass, I think you have to, all bets are off, and you have to utilize some discretion.
All right, so you have that crazy game. You have the rough one on Lester the next day. Then, of course, what will forever be remembered is the David Bodie game. This has been a really emotional little weekend here. Then you get to decompress with the day off, and guys get to get away a little bit. Did that come at the right time after that, or would you prefer to just say, hey, keep it rolling, let's get right into it?
No, I mean, we all needed the day, and you know, yesterday was kind of a busy day for me personally, right. But I'm glad that the guys had an opportunity to decompress. This time of the year, you'll take them when you get them, because we have a 23-game stretch coming up, and so it's just, you know, it's hard to say that because we had a walk-off home run, we're going to play well the next day. It just depends on starting pitchers primarily. So I want our guys to get rest when they can. We have yesterday off, we have next Monday off prior to Detroit. And then it's we march along, man, for a bit. So take those moments when you can. There may be a rain out, who knows, but still that's not even a break in the day as we move through the 23. So let's just take advantage of it and move on.
You said it's next day's starting pitcher, and Jose Quintana has had some serious amount of success against these Milwaukee Brewers, despite the fact that they're hanging right in there in the NL Central. When you sit down to, whether it's make a schedule or figure out what your matchups look like and figure out when your bullpen needs to factor, when you've got a guy like Q who shut down a lineup like that as often as he has, what do you attribute that to?
Well, I mean, it's first of all, there's just sometimes in your life when you look at another uniform, you do well. And there's sometimes in your life when you look at another uniform and you don't do well. It's just crazy how this thing plays. It probably goes back to when you're in Little League and high school and college ball. I mean, there's just something about teams and how you see them, how you perceive them, how you feel when you walk out there. So I bet he likes pitching in that ballpark in Milwaukee, and I know he likes pitching here. So it's just a familiarity kind of a thing, I think. And then on top of that, how his ball plays. I mean, if you ask people when you talk about Jose, 91, 92 on the gun, but they'll tell you the ball really jumps at home plate. And it's just a matter of who their hitters are and how they react to those style of pitches. Yeah, not every lefty is created equally. Not every righty is. Not every hitter sees everybody the same way. It's crazy, but it's true, and that's just how it plays out. So I'm sure that Q's got a certain amount of confidence facing these guys, and I'm certain that they're working very hard on the other side to figure it out. But sometimes it just plays that way.
Going back to Bodie, we've had him on the show Friday and then Monday, given the weekend he had. And Friday, we were just kind of looking to talk to a guy that we'd been admiring for a little while, as you have and as Cubs fans have. On road trips, that kind of thing, do you make sure that Bodie is like handcuffed to Tommy La Stella, and that you make sure they talk about pinch hitting and learning that skill set? Because as you get Chris Bryant back and as you get lineups filled out some, Bodie's a guy that's proven a number of things to you defensively too. But I have to imagine that pinch hits are going to be something he's asked to do, especially as the postseason rolls around.
Yeah, he had a big double earlier this season coming off the bench down the left field line also. I'm not necessarily, but I promise you Tommy's right there, and I promise you David's asking questions. That's how these guys are. So I don't really worry about things like that. If you're around them often enough, and even during the game, you can't find them because they're in the cage during the game. We have our coaches in there throwing BP during the game too. These guys are checking things out. They know when their potential role may show up. Brandon Hyde keeps them informed. So I'm not just talking about us. Those kind of guys on every team are always ready, but the fact with David, you just try to match him up against the right kind of guy, try to match up skill sets. Same thing with Tommy. Sometimes, you know, I'll leave Tommy in there even against the left-handed pitcher if it plays well, or you might throw up the switch hitter with the lefty warming up in the bullpen. There's all these different things to consider, but I promise you Tommy's in his ear all the time.
Are you still completely committed to Chris Bryant at 100% or close enough, rather than saying, all right, this is what we got this year is 80% of Chris Bryant, but we need that, and rather than having a couple weeks without it, we'll take what we can get and make the most of it?
Yeah, I mean, of course, it's. I'm not anticipating 100%. That's hard to anticipate or expect this time of the year. We're just waiting for him to work through this point till it's to get to the point where it's manageable, and he's doing better. He's doing more baseball activities right now, and I haven't spoken to PGA or trainer yet, but he'll be coming in the door pretty shortly, and I'll get an update about today, and then we'll try to keep moving it forward. It's moving forward. I don't have a real finish line in sight, but it's getting better. And KB's actually smiling a lot, which is always a good thing. So I'll talk to PJ today. It's going to keep moving forward. But, yeah, I don't anticipate 100% by the time he gets back out on the field.
Does that mean that you're going to have to change what you can ask out of him, you know, whether that's a day-to-day basis or looking at matchups? I mean, if he's not the healthy 100% Chris Bryant, do you have to change your math?
Yes. I mean, you would have to really be aware of resting him and not pushing it too hard, especially right when he comes back. It's a bad assumption to make. I've been around when guys have come back from injuries, and sometimes I've seen them push too hard, and before you know it, something even worse happens. So, you know, be careful what you wish for. Yeah, you wish for him back, but then don't try to run him back into the ground, because that's exactly what you're going to do. So be careful, be prudent, and when he comes back, we'll have a definite plan in mind.
I know he's had a couple of clean MRIs, and there's only so much you can do diagnostically at this point, but when you say that you're resigned to him not being 100%, does that mean that there's more of a likelihood of, in the off season, doing a little more to find out exactly what's wrong, maybe going in there and looking?
I don't know that answer. It's just that more than likely situations like this just require a lot of rest. And he's rested it, but now we're in a championship season, so you're probably trying to push it a little bit more at the end to get him back. I don't have those answers. I really don't. Again, we're just trying to get him back on the field and getting him back to the point where he feels comfortable doing it and that he feels that he can be helpful to the group. So that's where we're at. The off season regarding what's going to take at that point, I have no clue. We're just trying to manage it right now and get him back on the field and playing.
We had a nice conversation with Jim DeShays yesterday. We were talking in detail about the issues that John Lester seems to be having. And one thing that JD brought up is that it looks to him like batters are standing in the box with a degree of comfort because Lester is such a consistent thrower of strikes. And he talked about certainly not headhunting and not attempting to hurt anybody, but making batters, especially right-handed hitters, just a little less comfortable on their feet as they stand in, and maybe establishing some authority on the inner half of the plate. Do you agree with that assessment?
Well, I mean, Jimmy's outstanding. First of all, I actually caught Jimmy back in 1980, and I've always been a big fan. He's a really bright guy. I mean, that's always going to be part of a pitcher's plan. But we're working on some things right now. We think we may have identified some stuff. Because, first of all, there's nothing wrong with John. I mean, his velocity is up. And I spoke to him after the game the other night. And he assured me, he said, I felt great out there. So there was a disconnect between the results and how he felt. So we tried to sit down and figure out exactly what is going on. So we came up with some thoughts. I think we found some interesting tidbits that we could apply. So beyond what Jimmy had to say, you know, these are the kind of things that you do little research on and see if we're doing anything differently. And that's what we're working on right now. But John is very confident. And anytime a pitcher tells me he felt that great and he's that healthy and then he's that accountable, good things are going to follow.
It's intriguing when you give us the breadcrumbs of finding tidbits there. Are we talking about tipping? Are we talking about
pitch mix, mechanics,
sequencing?
It's just a matter of the utilization of his pitches and how he's going about it. Yeah, it's you'll see. Let's see what happens next time out. Like I said, we've talked about different things, but my biggest concern is that he's healthy, and John typically is accountable, and so that's what we addressed, and we like where we're at. We like where we're moving forward with this. And I can't talk about the whole thing, but of course, good job. But we feel good about moving forward.
For Addison Russell, his two offensive halves have been a little different from one another. In the first couple months up until June 30th, he's the 285, 355, 407 type guy. Had some hits here and there, to be sure. But how would you assess the two Addison Russells that we've seen offensively from, I guess, July on and before that?
Yeah, he's been off and on. I agree with that. The power hasn't necessarily been there like we've seen in the past. I don't know to what extent his hand is bothering him. He doesn't really admit to that. He had that thing with his knuckle earlier this year, and he's not the kind of guy that makes an excuse, believe me. So to what extent that's bothering him, he's not revealing that, because I'm seeing him miss his pitch, foul off his pitch, not really squared up like he had been doing earlier this year. But, I mean, like, I'm giving him today off. That gives him 2 days in a row off. This guy's tough on righties. Why push it? Quintana's a fly ball pitcher. So that's what we did, the change with everything today. But I know Addison is highly competitive. We're going to keep working on it. We all know what he's capable of doing. I think more than anything, I want to be aware of him not getting working too much to the point where that hand has a negative impact from it. So keep working with Chile, keep working with Andy. I really believe it's going to come back to us because he is good and he's been playing great defense. And that's the part about it. Maybe he's not hitting, but his defensive game has been outstanding.
I keep thinking that the Rizzo binge has to be coming soon, that he's going to put together just that blob of power numbers that's going to pull up this season to a career place. You know, but just I keep waiting for it, and I just keep waiting to have one of those high-frequency, high-output, you know, couple-week stretches right here. Do you think it's coming, or is this just kind of a down year for him?
No, I mean, if you look what he's done, I mean, overall, and actually in the one hole, it's been kind of staggering what he's done in the one hole to this point. I think but he's got an OPS of over 1,000, and he's got 6 homers and 100 at-bats in that spot. I think it's been actually good. I mean, you look at 1,000 OPS, I think if you look at that, and then over the last month, gosh, he's had a really good month and a month and a half. So he's actually been trending well. I mean, if we could eradicate the earlier part of the season, that's where a lot of the numbers are missing. That's when he wasn't as Rizzo-like. But, heck, in July, he hit, I'm looking at 293 with a 394 on base. That's pretty good. And this month, he's hitting 308 with a 413. So there's not a whole lot to complain about.
Joe, I'm glad you brought up the leadoff spot because you mentioned last week that you were sliding that pitcher back into the eight spot and really enjoyed doing it and kind of missed it. And I meant to follow up on it. Mm-hmm. What, obviously, you know, you get a batter at 9 that's going to be on base, hopefully, for Anthony Rizzo when his spot comes back up as opposed to the pitcher. Are there other reasons? I mean, it's just like a thing that you missed doing, kind of like writing it that way. Like, what other reasons were there? It seemed like you had a lot of love for this thing.
David Bote.
Sure.
I mean, he doesn't hit 8 the other night if we don't have it set up that way. That would have been the 8-hole hitter spot. So that moment may never have occurred. My point is, I like the fact that the latter part of the game, you can manipulate that spot if you need to. Now, you could have moved it. You could have moved that spot based on a double switch possibly, but when it gets to that third time through, and if we're not having a good game, then you have this earlier moment to pinch hit for, and then you got 8-9-1 playing into Riz. So the first two times through the order, it kind of normally is staticky, but as the game is in progress, there's more you can do with it. There's been, I don't know, at least 3 or 4 occasions so far that I've loved the fact that we have that an open 8-hole to play with right there. So really the best example of that is the other night against Washington.
How excited are you allowing yourself to get over the early performances of Cole Hamels? Because, you know, we understand where he is in his career. We understand why he was available, what it cost to get him. And then you see some of this stuff, and it's understandable if you think, well, maybe this works out a lot better than we might have anticipated.
There's no reason to believe it's not. I mean, there's nothing. It's almost like Lester. I mean, Johnny had a couple of tough starts. Cole had some bad starts toward the end of his run in Texas, and all of a sudden the guy's done. There's different things that occur, and we looked at what Cole was doing there. We tried to make some suggestions to him also. Plus, there's the reborn kind of an attitude about it too. But when the guys have a couple bad outings in a row, that you don't throw dirt on them. You just try to figure out why. And that's what we're doing with John. We're doing with Johnny right now. We kind of did when we got Cole. There's no reason to expect that it's not going to continue because his stuff is really that good. Johnny's stuff is really that good. You execute, you throw, you get the right mix running out there. You trust the pitches that you have, and all of a sudden you turn back into Cy Young John Lester and Cy Young Cole Hamels. It's there. It's all in there, man. So Johnny had a great first half. Cole's had a great career. And they're both throwing the ball velocity-wise where they have been in the past. They're both healthy, and their other pitches are still first rate. So they're always going to have a bump in the road, and I always expect that. So right now it's up to us to try to help them figure it out, simplify things, get back to their fundamentals, And when they do that, man, these guys are still really good.
Joe, before we let you go, one more box to check, and it's an injury one. How is Brandon Morrow, and where are things with your closer?
He's getting better. He played catch the other day before we left for the one day off, and he felt better. He's getting closer in a sense, but I have by no means have a finish line for him either. Mm-hmm. And again, I'm always after the day off waiting to hear from PJ, our trainer, to get a specific answer on that. But there's been no setbacks. There's been no tremendous progress. It's a little bit better than status quo, but that's all I got right now.
Joe, thanks again for including us yesterday.
Thank you for coming out.
I didn't think that the highlight for me would end up being a conversation with Pete LeCocq about his grand slam off of Bob Gibson.
But it was.
On Bob Gibson Day.
Oh, no way. He didn't tell me about that.
Yes. He apparently ruined Bob Gibson Day.
And then apparently.
Oh, my God.
Apparently, Joe, as Pete was leaving the field, Gibson chucked the ball at him as he was walking off the field.
I would hope so. Absolutely.
Yeah, because it was funny, especially in the context of the Bodie Grand Slam, and having this career making Grand Slam, and here there was Pete LeCocq to talk about it. So it was a great day.
Oh, that's perfect. And again, thank you. That really made the day even better. Thank you guys.
All right, thanks again, Joe. We'll talk next week.
See you, Matt. Bye.
That is Joe Madden.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.